Hello, everyone. Welcome to the last episode of the Untitled Basketball Hot Take Podcast. With me, Jared.
I'm Joe.
I'm Will.
And we'd like to announce that next week is the first episode of Full Court Mess, the exact same show, the exact same podcast.
But better.
Newer. Improveder. Again.
We'll have music and sound bites.
Pretend we have examples just tossed in here.
More guests and snacks, probably. Ooh. And
drinks.
Just the takes are going to be hotter and spicier.
And lemon scented.
And lemon scented. That's exactly right.
Same platforms, same sources, new Twitter account, which was the same one we were using before, but now it's just a full court mess.
That's we're right. All working out. We all have better haircuts. We're eating healthier.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like when Kobe Bryant went from number 8 to number 24.
Yeah.
Minus the rape accusations.
We've had zero allegations so far on this show. This is a healthy, welcoming, safe podcast.
Can we insert like a slide whistle sound right after that? Just boom.
The only allegations are that some of the takes might be too hot.
Yes.
That's fair. Call the fire marshals.
Anyways, thank you to the 10 followers that will continue this journey with us.
We do it for you.
Let's get to the news.
We do it mostly for ourselves, but also absolutely. For all of you.
You're also there.
Just don't be thrown off by the new artwork. And if you are, sorry, dude. That's just how it is.
Let's hit some news. Oh, wait. Sorry. Let's get enlightened.
Yes. Wow. How you forget your own thing.
It's a new year.
It has been a month because Joe has left us for a whole month.
I had left us. It's true. But I am back and better than ever.
The prodigal son
took the takes overseas for a little while. Basketball is less popular in Central America, but I did find a couple Pacers fans and Lakers fans on the plane on my way to and back from Costa Rica.
The two most popular franchises in the NBA.
Absolutely. That's right. I heard a father and son having a conversation in full Spanish, and then intermittently would hear like Magic Johnson and Pacers and other things like that. It was pretty fun.
Two names you often hear together, Magic Johnson and the Pacers.
That's right.
I'd like to apologize to that young Pacer fan for what has apparently just happened to Victor Oladipo.
Real time news.
Prayers up.
True.
But let's get enlightened for the first time in 2019. And for our enlightening, we turn to one of a son of the podcast, Reggie Bullock. Reggie is really going to display for us, I think, the duality of man and also how humble beginnings can lead to greatness. So we're going to look at two tweets, 3 minutes apart from Reggie Bullock back in July of 2012. At 4:54 p.m., Reggie said, "I used to eat Vaseline, LMAO." And then at 4:57, he said, "I used to steal bikes and break them down in 10 minutes max."
Wow, so, what a range.
I will admit, imagining the Vaseline a bit, kind of like the silver paint from Mad Max with the War Boys, where he would just like get a bunch of Vaseline and go nuts stealing bikes. But thanks to Reggie for showing us how people can grow and also the two sides to every equation.
That's really got my imagination going, the Mad Max thing. I'm just, like, picturing him, like, as he's riding the bike, pulling the handlebars off and screaming, like, "For Von Halla."
In Kinston, North Carolina.
What a range. That's impressive.
Such growth, Reggie. I love it.
So, news. There's been a lot. We'll probably just cover the newest stuff. Big news trending just about every game he plays, James Harden. He's still there. He's still in Houston.
He's on quite the run. winners play these days.
I saw in his last four games, he has over 200 points. That seems good. I don't know all the analytics on that, but it seems good.
While we are recording this right now, as most of these games have gone, he alone is playing the other team, this today being the Knicks. 10 minutes left in the third quarter, he has 36 points.
It's not bad.
Pretty good.
I'll wait and see. There's a lot of time left in that game. He might lose some points here or there. So
good.
I'll wait to call that one.
He's been killing it, but someone on that team has to.
I've seen a couple of worrisome takes around this. One that perturbed me, and this is admitting how well he's playing, but I saw someone say that Harden this year is easily better than Steph Curry's unanimous MVP year. And I'd like to firmly go on the record that there's never been a year anyone's had in the history of the NBA that's easily better than Steph Curry's unanimous MVP year.
Now, you're not saying nobody's ever done better. You're saying easily better.
There's no one who's ever easily done. That, for my money, is the greatest offensive season in history. And you're not going to easily surpass that.
I mean, I definitely have a Steph bias, but I do agree. That year was insane. That was phenomenal.
Impossibly good. And I hope it's not something that we forget.
It's very hard to get the unanimous vote.
He's the only one to ever do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which doesn't, we know that doesn't by its own or anything mean it was the best, but
yeah,
it was pretty indicative of like how much he owned that year.
Yeah, it's definitely like, it's reflective of that. Speaking of the Rockets, let's talk about Carmelo for the 50th time.
Friend of the show.
He was traded to the Bulls, where he will play zero games for them. But apparently, apparently not being released immediately because they want to see if they can trade for him still or trade him for someone. Just interesting because it took the Rockets a while to get that done.
Yeah, I thought with how long they were waiting, it would be a different move than Melo and Cash to the Bulls.
Yeah, they paid the Bulls to take him.
Which is classic Bulls, but I feel like you could have paid almost anyone to take him and cut him. That doesn't seem hard.
The Rockets called up the Bulls and said, take my Melo, please. And that was the whole phone call.
I mean, in the Rockets' defense, it's just not their problem anymore, so who cares? It's business, yeah?
Yeah.
And I guess the catalyst was they needed the spot for Kenneth Faried, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's a good pickup. I saw in his first...
Definitely an upgrade.
His first scoring for the Rockets, he got a technical.
Yes, slap the backboard.
I like that a lot. I love Faried.
Kenneth Faried is basically Nene, but 10 years younger. But they're like the same person in my mind.
That fits because every dude with dreads hoops the exact same way.
Dude, my friend loves Jay Crowder. For no like true like apparent reason, just like I feel like it's like somewhat ironic, loves Jay Crowder, but he like forgets what team Crowder's on all the time, so we'll be watching the Raptors and he's like, is that Jay Crowder? Like, nah dude, that's Damari Carroll. And so now yeah. Now he's just like, his thing is that anyone who liked that is just a clone. Because they all play the same. Bigger, smaller, doesn't matter. They play the same. So there's like, he's just a believer that there should be a team of all Carrolls. Of all Crowders. So it's like Crowder, the Manimal, Carroll, Nene.
No one would agree to play that team.
No.
It wouldn't be safe. One of my favorite moments ever was watching it was a few years back in college. I turned on I think it was like a Clemson NC State game. And Clemson had a point guard who had dreads, real long ones. And right return, I was like, made the same joke, like, yeah, all dudes with dreads hoop the exact same way. And like right when I said it, this dude just sprinted into the paint, fell over, and the other team got the ball and like raced down. And I just was rolling on the floor laughing for 5 minutes.
Did that happen to be?
Thank you so much for illustrating my point that quickly.
did that happen to be Jay Crowder?
No, Jay Crowder went to Marquette. Come on, Jared.
Hey, it's.
Gosh, shout out all those Marquette teams of that era.
There are multiple Jay Crowders, apparently.
You can add Montrezl Harrell to that team too.
Yeah, no, we were watching the Clippers play the other day, and he's like, "Who's that? Is that Crowder? When did he play?" I was like, "No, that's Harrell, dog." He's like, "Oh, it should be Crowder there."
He was so fun at Louisville.
He was a blast. He is one of the only dunks. He is one of the few like college dunks where I remember where I was when I saw it. and actually, there are two Louisville players who have those because I have a Donovan Mitchell dunk that I will never forget. I was standing in a Cuban restaurant that was not the kind of to have TVs, but they just had one TV, and it was on Syracuse Louisville, and they threw up an alley to Donovan that there is no way he should have gotten, and he did. But yeah, so Louisville players are great at making me remember where they were when they were dunking, and Montrez is right there.
Nice.
You sure it wasn't Jay Crowder?
Now that you mention it, I'm pretty sure it was Damari Carroll during the 60-win Hawks era.
Oh, okay. Just checking, because it's all Jay Crowder. Also, Jay Crowder is the best of all of them.
Absolutely.
That is the consensus among my friends that love Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder commented on Bradley Beal's Instagram post today, calling him SpongeBob in all caps. So, do his thing.
Remember when Jay Crowder was mad at Celtics fans?
Yes.
That whole thing. That rule.
All of the wonderful Celtics Jay Crowder stuff of him being the best contract in the league at 7 years, 35 mil.
Yep.
Yeah, that's spot on.
Anyways.
I've got a couple, to get back to James Harden,
yeah.
I've got a couple of good takes on him that I wanted to touch on before we go too far.
Let's hear it.
These were both two takes. They were both tweeted on the same day, May 11th, 2017. The first one says, by two different people. The first one says, James Harden, basically a left-handed Speedy Claxton.
Okay.
And the other one says, take away the beard, and James Harden, basically Raymond Felton.
Whoa! Wait, never mind. They both have tremendous cabooses.
No,
I'll allow it.
Also think about this. Raymond Felton did say just a few years ago that he was still an elite point guard.
I'm with it, actually.
And who is an elite guard today? Raymond Felton.
Okay, yeah, we were both. Yeah, all right. So I was curious as to why May 11th, 2017 caused two independent people to tweet disparaging remarks, seemingly, about James Harden. And I looked up the date, and that was the day that the Rockets were eliminated from the playoffs by the Spurs when they lost by 40 in game six.
That was a great one.
And this was when James Harden played 37 minutes, went 2-for-11 from the field, 10 points. He fouled out. Pretty bad game, if I remember correctly. We'll just keep in mind these games Harden is putting up once May and June roll around.
I feel like I'm getting mixed signals from you guys because I feel like you want me to talk about NBA players' asses less, but then you keep bringing up like James Harden and Ray Felton on the podcast.
What if Kyle Lowry got traded to the Rockets?
Oh my man, I wouldn't watch any other. I'd get that league pass for one team.
Will's anyone, just like, oh, I gotta go.
Wait. You'd get that league ass, is what I mean.
Oh, there it is. There it is. The old pictures of James Harden wearing like the really tight rolled up shorts in practice and looking like he belongs in like an 80s like aerobics video, but kind of as a before picture. Those are great, man. He's big.
So really quick.
Booty specialist Will on the podcast.
Really quick. One last Harden thing that I saw on Twitter and I had to look it up for myself to see if it's true. Right now. With 5 minutes left in the third, Harden has 40 points. He has 0 assists. The rest of the team combined has 5 assists.
Wow.
We're in That's the third. Amazing. We're halfway through the third.
What's the fewest number of assists in an NBA game?
Probably right now.
It can't be much lower than that.
I mean, we're getting new records every day right now. Like, this has got to be one of them. anyway, so that's interesting. What else in the news? LeBron?
Yeah. Well, LeBron's not in the news. LeBron's out.
That's true.
Lonzo's out now, and the Lakers have been dropping steadily in the Western Conference standings.
They're not in the playoffs right now, right?
I don't believe so.
I'll check really quick.
I think they were ninth last I saw, but yeah, I have been on a one-month sabbatical. So
they are ninth. They are 25-23.
Elite. That's elite.
And then Lonzo. Yeah, they have Lonzo out.
It's kind of what we thought. Like, without LeBron, they're, like, not a playoff team, right?
Yeah, it's that.
Funny you should mention that, because I had a take that I really liked from a few weeks ago that was all love, but I hope LeBron fans realize that this team would have made the playoffs without Bron. Stop trashing our young core.
Well,
love is blinding.
I mean, usually having a young core means they're, like, not ready yet. Good. Like,
yeah, young
they might
core
be good soon, but they're not there yet. That's what, like, a young core
that's
means
like,
to me, anyway.
Yeah, young core to me is, like, there's potential, but it's not now.
Like the Bucks had a young core the last few years. This year, they're, like, a contender.
To take it a step further, I think saying young core implies that that group of young players will be good enough at any point to carry a team to success. And I we can always be proven wrong in the future, but this is a podcast about takes. So I'll throw out that without getting other all-stars around them, if you ran out Lonzo, Ingram, and I guess Kuzma in 5 years, you're still not making the playoffs.
I think they might be a fringe playoff team, but I feel like they'd be stuck with the like 6, 7, 8 seed at best, and then they're like, you know, getting mid first round draft picks every year and kind of stuck.
Yeah.
But so I agree, but they're like a fringe playoff team at best.
Yeah.
I would say.
To me, right now with LeBron, they're like a 6 or a 5 seed at best.
Yeah.
So
there's another really good one on the subject of the Lakers without LeBron. This is from at Gold Lakers with 2 S's, because I guess at Gold Lakers with 1 S was taken. The caption is, sorry, I mean, it's already going to happen from the other talk, me making sure that we carry our explicit rating into 2019. But the caption is, all caps, stay fucking sleep. And it's a graphic that says Cavs without LeBron versus Lakers without LeBron. And the 2014 to 2018 Cavs went 4-23. And the 2018-2019 Lakers are 5-9. That's one of
got
the
him. We got them.
That's one of the stranger brags I've come across
I
in a while.
Going back to sleep, please do not wake me.
Also,
do
we'll
not disturb
so everyone can see it. But one of my favorite parts is this graphic. Over the Cavs number has LeBron like holding Kyrie Irving and giving him a very stern kind of like dressing down, and over the Lakers graphic has him jumping up and down, smiling, hugging Lonzo Ball for that 5-9 record.
Oh, that's great.
I will
speaking
say
of Kyrie Irving, I found an Instagram post that surmises that Kyrie might be joining LeBron in LA. What are your thoughts on this, fellas?
I love it that when a player talks to another player not on their team, it 100% means that they will be playing together.
Yes, and Kyrie apologizing for his conduct with, you know, in Cleveland wanting to get out of there means, oh, he wants to rejoin LeBron. That's what he means.
Oh, that's one of the best quotes of the year, by the way, is Kyrie saying, it takes a real man to go and apologize, and that's what I did. There's not many quotes I take seriously where you're saying, like, it takes a real man to do what I'm doing right now. I am calling myself a real man in this interview, and not many are brave enough to do that.
Did he really
that's
have
literally
to apologize?
A Michael Scott quote. Like, he was literally like, it takes a big man to apologize, and I am that big man. Like, that's exactly what he did. That's great.
Did he have to apologize, though? Like, I get what he's saying, but I feel like it's still it's weird that it became such a public matter when everyone really just assumed that, like, he knew Cleveland was going to go downhill and LeBron would leave anyways, and that's why he left.
Yeah, like, it was, like, Cleveland was weird. I don't blame him for leaving. People, like, reporters pretended LeBron was his dad.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
Like, there were all these, like, very legitimate... I mean, if a player wants to leave, and wants to leave. Like, nobody owns him. Other than maybe his contract. But, like, that aside, like, so doesn't want to play somewhere. Why do we need a million reasons why? And still he had, like, just very good reasons of, like, not wanting to play there. That no one was, like, no one was, like, that's weird.
Which is, like, yeah, fair.
Yeah. But now, like, out of the blue, he's like, I'm a hero, actually. I'm a man.
If I was one of his young teammates, I'd just be like, why do you keep apologizing to me through the press? Just come over to my locker and be like, yo, my bad, dog, and we'll be all right. Just
yeah.
On Kyrie, though, there was a fantastic Bill Simmons quote where he just said, if I were Kyrie, I'd simply score 40 a game.
Me too.
Yeah, I would do that also.
Which is, anytime you can sincerely have a take that's basically like one of, that's in the format of like an irony post, you have to go down that road. If I was an NBA player, I would simply score many baskets and not miss any. Seems easy.
It's a bold strategy.
If you were Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, where would you want to be traded to?
This is big news. This has been like this. I feel like this should have happened like 4 years ago.
Yeah. This question comes from the Grizzlies saying that they are open to trading them both now.
Yeah, I feel like. It's I don't know what the Grizzlies are gonna get.
This seems like weird timing for this.
Like, they're both very good players, and I like them both very much.
I feel like Conley's been good
like,
for them.
They're like at best they're like at their peak right now.
Yeah,
and at worst they're like on the downhill for sure. So I don't know. Like,
I mean, the Grizzlies were bad. They were bad last year because they didn't have Mike Conley.
Right. And I feel like they would have done it last year, but Conley was hurt. And, I mean, they're both, like, fan favorites, I'm sure. I'm sure the fan base doesn't want it to happen. So.
I feel like they've been seen as, like, the franchise players.
Yeah, for sure. Well, when you have Omri Caspi on the team now, you could Conley and Gasol are just expendable at this point. So,
I mean, Gasol's got to hope. He gets moved to the Lakers, right? Like,
why?
He would fit in, and like, Conley doesn't really have a hope of getting traded to a good team, but like, a stud defensive and passing big who can also hit threes would be a pretty big boon for a team running out JaVale and Tyson Chandler.
I'm sorry, JaVale shoots threes now.
I knew that was coming. Don't you dare talk about my man like that.
I'm sorry, you're right. He's finally on a team that is enabling him instead of, like, exploiting him or something like that. Elevating him instead of exploiting him.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like the damn Warriors.
Whatever.
Fight.
But, like, the Lakers actively, like, could use a good big.
Yeah, that's true. Marc Gasol would be good on any team with his, passing and shooting as a 7-footer, definitely.
Conley's in that terrible spot of there aren't like any good teams in the NBA who need a point guard
or have money.
I've seen the only teams I've seen like they should really go get him is like the Suns.
Yeah, or the Magic.
Yeah, which is true. They should, but that's not necessarily good for Mike Conley.
Poor Mike. Like I know some Philly fans like if they could figure out the money somehow, which they can't, would want him, which would be great for him. Like he'd fit perfect, but.
Why do all these Philly fans are like think they just have endless amounts of money?
As soon as any good player becomes available, whether it's like through rumors or trades or whatever, Philly's like, yeah, they'd be a good fit here.
Philly's like,
yeah.
Last season they're like, yeah, what we should do is sign LeBron, and then we'll trade. We'll get PG, and then we'll get
and Kawhi.
Yeah, and we'll get Kawhi. And then the next year, we're going to get Clay and KD.
And we'll draft Zion. And then we'll be unstoppable.
Then we'll be halfway through the process.
And we're going to keep Embiid Ben, and Foltz, and all 20 of these guys are going to start.
Never want to take the position of defending any Philly fans, but I wish more fans like demanded that their owner spend every possible dollar they could.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The alternative is like the worst kind of fan who is like, no, we need to avoid the luxury tax. It's like, shut up. I get it to the extent of like, yeah, you know, once you're there that your owner will stop spending less money. So you're being a realist in a way, but don't ever worry about your owner's money, please. It looks terrible.
This man who has more money than I can dream of and could feed an entire state of people.
No wonder they need public funding to build a new arena.
I worry about him having to pay too much taxes.
Exactly. It's the nerdiest way to be an NBA fan is worrying about hitting the luxury tax.
I've got a Marc Gasol trade scenario take here.
Okay.
This comes from Twitter. Marc Gasol to Milwaukee? Trade scenario. Bucks get Marc Gasol and a future second round pick. Grizzlies get Eric Bledsoe, Malcolm Brogdon, Brooke Lopez, and the first round pick.
What?
That seems like a lot.
That is a lot.
Three good players on the best team in the East right now. Why would the Bucks say anyone right now?
They must have seen him talking to Giannis after a game.
I thought for a second the take was going to be that the Bucks trade Anthony Davis for Marc Gasol.
That would be more plausible than this.
I'm just about to be like, you got a point guard who's playing at an all-star level. You've got a guy who's shooting every light out, and then you've got a 7-footer who's also shooting the lights out. And then you attach a first rounder to that for a 7-footer who's going to be an upgrade over your current one, but
is also 35, I think.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how old is he?
Not to matter all that much.
Like, Brooke Lopez is there for shooting and like slight rim protection. I think he's averaging like 12 points and 3 rebounds a game as a 7-footer who plays like 20 to 25 minutes a game.
Like, your rim protection is Giannis. You're not hurting for rim protection.
Right.
Sorry, our rim protection is Giannis.
Thank you. Yeah. And go we've got Thon Maker, who's good for half a playoff series a year.
Yeah,
I saw someone saying like someone was proposing like Chris Middleton trade in the last couple days, and the responses were just, why would the Bucks make a trade right now?
They would not. In what world? It would be absurd. Like, and I know preseason Middleton was like the pick of like, oh, he's going to be an all-star in the East for sure. The East is garbage. And Chris Middleton's going to take a step forward, like all this stuff. And it's been more Bledsoe than Middleton that's like fringe or maybe all-star, actually an all-star this year. But Giannis loves Middleton. Like, I would rather pay Middleton whatever he wants to keep him around because it has a chance of keeping Giannis around, even though I am confident Giannis will stay in Milwaukee.
It's kind of like when just general NBA fans are like, should the Warriors trade Draymond? Should they trade Klay? Should they trade Iggy? It's like, no. Why? Why would they? Why? So maybe a couple guys got into an argument. So?
Imagine being so good that fans are guaranteeing that you'll win the next championship and blowing that up mid-season.
Right?
To me, and I'm no expert, but to me, it's like written on the wall that Durant's going to leave after this year.
I think he will.
And that's fine. You still have Klay, Steph, and Draymond for sure.
Yep.
Let's say Boogie leaves too, which I don't think the Warriors are going to give him a max contract. And maybe by the end of the year, he's worth that. You know, if he stays healthy, I think he's worth a max contract from someone. So I don't think the Warriors can give him a max contract.
Yeah, but then think of,
you still have Steph, Clay, and Draymond, who you won a championship with before.
Yeah, like think of the other free agents then to replace. I mean, you can't replace KD or Boogie, but you know, fill that role.
I mean, Harrison Barnes is about to be a free agent.
Get him back. Let's go. Come back.
The only thing I want to happen this offseason is for the Warriors to sign and trade KD for LeBron. That's it.
Oh man.
I mean,
mark it down. You heard Warriors, it here first.
I don't think Warriors have made like a true player for player trade in like 3 or 4 years.
It seems like it's working out kind of well for them.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Steve Kerr is a great coach, one of the best coaches I've ever seen. Like, people want to play for that guy.
Yeah.
At the very bare minimum. Like, people want to play for Steve Kerr. People want to play with Steph.
Everybody wants to play with Steph.
Yeah. Like, you don't need to trade for anybody. You have the upper hand on everybody when it comes to free agents.
Except for the last game Warriors played. Great game for Clay, shot 17 for 20. One person was not happy that game. That was Jordan Bell, who in the fourth, when he got pulled after just a few minutes of play time at most, was seen yelling and arguing with Steve Kerr, had to be separated from him by KD and Steph.
The next Draymond.
Yep.
He really is. I've thought that for a long time. He's like son of Draymond, for sure.
And well, that think, though, one thing we need to go back and do a full episode of is just people going, oh, I can't believe we let this team get blank player in the draft. Because yeah. So many of those are like, do you know, if you were on Twitter the night of that draft, the amount of people who were so mad that the Warriors got Pat McCaw were like, you idiots, you let him fall to the Warriors and they're going to make you pay. And
Fun fact, the Bucks drafted Pat McCaw and then traded him to the Warriors for cash considerations.
There you
and
go.
It's on you.
Jordan Bell was a Bulls pick, right? Also traded for cash.
Yeah, Jordan Bell was that one. And that was another one. You idiots, you've let this fall out. He might still become really good, but like the league hasn't really paid yet for letting Jordan Bell and Pat McCaw be on the Warriors.
The Warriors might end up paying for having Pat McCaw. the Cavs, I'm sorry. Yeah. Never mind.
They're
accusing the Cavs.
They've been officially absolved by the league.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. That's news to me. 1 month sabbatical.
Yeah, they've been cleared.
That would have been my other favorite thing that could have happened if the Pat McCaw saga had cost the Cavs Zion Williamson.
Oh, it would have been so.
Would the Warriors have gotten that pick?
No, it just would have been forfeited.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the league goes to nobody.
Okay.
The Warriors just get it.
I didn't think that would happen, but and then if it did, it's like, it's kind of funny because like I feel like there are a lot of like really high picks now that the Warriors could get, and I feel like I think yeah, but what would they do with him?
Yeah, he'd be like the sixth man.
The answer to everything is to draft Zion. He's the next coming. Zion is already so big. He got Jay-Z to sit courtside at a game at Pittsburgh last night.
Damn.
Jay-Z was courtside at Pittsburgh.
I mean, Jay-Z's probably trying to have his agency represent him or something, yeah?
Probably is, but you'd think he would be like the game in Cameron.
Zion Williamson is so good, he got Jay-Z to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Zion is so good.
Put that on his tombstone.
He's so good that the Warriors are considering sending $3 million in cash consideration for whoever drafts him.
I feel like that's what the Warriors do. They see their guys, and when someone else takes them, they're like, we'll give you a couple million for them. And they're like, yeah, whatever.
Yep.
They're at least
the team that drafts them just is like, oh, he was next on ESPN's big board, so let's just take him. I don't know. The Warriors are like, no, he's actually going to be good. We'll give you a little bit. No, here. Here you go.
I mean, you remember that's what literally the Bulls said about Jordan Bell. Their explanation, like their – like trying to make everyone feel better was, oh, we didn't scout him anyway.
That was what they did with Lauri Markkanen too.
It's amazing. The Bulls
did not go to any of Markkanen's workouts, and then they traded up for him.
They've both traded for and away guys And their explanation both times was, well, we don't know how good the guy is anyways.
Markkanen has panned out, I think. Like, he was worth that pick, it seems like. But
it might be time for us to consider that the Bulls as an organization is not good.
Are bad.
The Bulls are like the Colts, to go cross sport here, in that they're both two of like the most inept franchises ever, who the only reason that isn't their main reputation is because they got like GOAT level talents on their team.
Yeah.
Like, the Colts without Peyton are just the Browns, and the Bulls without Jordan are like basically the Wizards. Still with more success, because everyone has more success than the Wizards, but really,
yeah,
that's it.
I mean,
Will, can you explain to me how you're well, former Wizards fan, but also a Colts fan?
Oh, my dad's a Vikings fan, and he didn't want anyone to have to deal with that pain. So he let me be free to pick my NFL team. I inherited the Wizards from him, along with a lot of other...
So he's a Wizards fan and a Vikings fan.
Yeah, so his is weird too.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but a lot of pain in that. The only reason that both he and I haven't gone totally insane from sports is UNC basketball. That's the only saving grace either of us has.
Well, and the Bucks. You're welcome.
My sweet Bucks. This is our year.
Very happy for you.
I love this Chris Middleton fella. He seems...
Well, the Bucks have had their share of downfalls in the past. Definitely. Don't dive into that. Like,
You're like Warriors fans earned this. Like, Warriors fans earned this. Bucks fans earned this. Wizards fans also earned this, being eternal despair, by being dumb enough to root for this team. But hey.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like while we're on this really quick of good teams and bad teams, that's really vague, but really quick, want to touch on the Bulls and how bad they are. Is the Bulls in history were one of the top franchises, or had been, right?
Sure. If we're going off of like total championships ever.
Let's talk about the legacy, right?
Yep.
So let's go to another top team in the league with legacy, and that's the Lakers. Since the Lakers stopped being as good as their top legacy times, let's say like Magic, and then there's obviously Kobe and Shaq. Just Kobe and Kobe. Since then, Lakers fans still feel like the Lakers are good. Bulls fans do not feel like the Bulls are good.
Oh, no. Bulls fans hate the Bulls.
That's how bad the Bulls are. Anyways. Should we talk about all-star votes?
Yeah. There's been some all-star voting happening.
It's true. The fans are really wilding out this year.
There's always a few outliers every year. Remember when Zaza Pachulia almost made the starting lineup?
I mean,
he had a whole country. At every position class, they are just losing their minds.
Yeah, this might be the worst year.
Seeing Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose both sitting at this starting spots is just, come on.
So I'm looking at the third returns of the votes right now of the West. If we should I just list these off really quick?
Yeah, who are our current starters?
Well, so right now? Let's start with the guards. I'll just go 1 through 10, because there's just so much. Number one is Curry, sounds about right. Number two is Derrick Rose.
This is in the West or overall?
West.
Okay. Derrick
Rose.
Not right, but okay.
Curry has 2,900,000. Very close to 3 million. Derrick Rose has 2,700,000. Behind him, with 2,300,000, is James Harden. And behind him, that is Westbrook with 2 million. And then 5 is Clay with the only other person above 1 million.
Okay.
So you have James Harden. Westbrook has 2 million? Yeah.
That's just 1 million over. For each parent that he loves.
Yeah. So he did earn those.
All right, go to the East guards, or just list off anyone over a million.
Okay.
Or something.
East guards.
10 is too high for me to count.
Kyrie is 3. D Wade at 2. With a 1,700,000. I mean, like, I get it. Dwayne Wade was an all-star.
He's a
good legacy. Yeah.
I mean, Kobe got voted in his last year, and he was like not on the same level.
That's true. As he That's was.
True. It's but like he also is like the worst cult of personality in the history of the NBA. Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is one, like, I get the reasoning. It's not right, but I get the reasoning. And then there's Kemba at over 1,000,000. That's nice.
Hell yeah.
I do want to point out, I mean, this is far further down, but at 8 in the guards with 300,000 is Jeremy Lin.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Let's
I know we've covered this before, so on previous episodes, so I don't need to get too in-depth, but just listening to the like sheer amount of votes he got, it's very like possible that Derrick Rose got more popular when he was credibly accused of rape.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's what happens in America.
Which is wild.
Yeah. It's bad, obviously, but it's Derrick Rose who overcame so much and more.
Shout out to Jeremy Lin.
Shout out to Jeremy Lin, who's permanently in timeout. Let's go to the front court in the West. LeBron's obviously number one. Number two is Luka Doncic.
Luka is all over NBA Instagram. It is insane.
He's all over NBA everything.
A lot of ways I find the takes that I find is scrolling through like the search function, and it's usually NBA related. And literally, like it's Lakers or the Ball family or Luka, or that's it. That's literally it. Like, so it's insane how popular he is.
Two games ago,
he's very, very good, and I think he should be an all-star this year.
Not this many.
Probably not at that level yet.
I mean, like, that's like last year, or maybe it was the year before, when everyone was arguing about should Embiid be an all-star.
But I mean, we also had the Ben Simmons argument last year too.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not against a rookie being all-star, but this second place in the front court for the West seems like a lot.
He's ahead of Durant. He's ahead of Anthony Davis.
Second place for the guy who 2 games ago kicked a ball into the ground, heavily fined. And then 1 game ago, missed a buzzer beater 3 to end, I think, the third quarter, right? So not that important. And tore his jersey off.
Yeah.
Anyways, third place is Paul George.
Hoomst among us.
So Luka's above PG.
I'm sorry, did Joe just say hoops among us?
Oh, there it is. Oh. We didn't get any intro, but we squeezed it in.
Y'all thought you'd escaped. No, sir.
Man.
So Luka's above PG, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis. But it's good to see Steven Adams having almost a 1.5 million votes.
Yes.
Any of our listeners who have not watched the Steven Adams beef commercial, go watch it. We'll retweet it, anything. Just go watch it. There's your heads up.
So I'm gonna watch it right now because I haven't seen this.
While
you're
gonna
get a live reaction.
While you watch that really quick, I want to note that over 1 million votes goes up to 7th place for the front court in the West, while it ends at 3rd place in the front court of the East.
All those Giannis votes.
Giannis, Kawhi, and Embiid.
Over 1 million votes in the West for guards stops at 5. Klay has over 1 million there. In the East, it's Kemba at 3rd with just over 1 million. Joe, did you get that? You watching it?
I'm starting right now.
Okay.
We're coming to you live.
Moment of zen.
I smash stakes?
Yeah, he does.
Come on, Steven. I know you're my son and all, but he's holding a basketball with beef written on it? I just smashed them because they taste really good. Did they give him lines or did he just improv that?
It doesn't matter. We don't need to know. We don't need to know.
I gotta retweet that. I can't not.
Top level.
He's my son and all, and I'm the next jersey I buy is gonna be a Steven Adams the alternates this year, the like turquoise. They're really good.
Yeah, I like those. So let's end
on the subject of player who's come up a lot in this All-Star talk. There was a little spirited discussion on Twitter a couple weeks ago. The question was, who is the best active player who will not make the Hall of Fame? Which is always a fun conversation. If we ever want to dive into that, we can. My idea at the time was I thought Dame Lillard for me personally. But one response to this tweet is my favorite take of the year, and it's a decent chance that when this year ends, it's still my favorite take of the year. This guy just says, I'm going to quote it verbatim. The question is, remember, who is the best active player who will not make the Hall of Fame? Response. The legendary Doncic step back is something I'll never forget, but no rings and no MVPs doesn't bode well for him.
I mean, it's true.
I mean, it's true right now, yeah.
This man has gone into the future.
Sorry, Doncic, you gotta do better, man.
I assume he means the step back that he hit against the Rockets or whatever when he was falling out of bounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
But I'm not sure it's quite to the level that he's making it sound like.
So you really think Damian Lillard won't make the Hall of Fame?
I kind of do. I think he's kind of forgotten. And if the Blazers keep just staying really mediocre, I think it's a decent chance he's out.
I could see that.
He's one of the best three-point shooters of all time, statistically. Most made is what he's on pace for, is I should clarify.
I mean,
him, Steph, and Clay are like the three that are like their trajectory is so much steeper than anyone else.
He's just constantly overshadowed. I just worry
about like what his reputation is going to be when he retires. Okay. Like, I love Dame. I think he's great. And I think he should be in because Kyrie's going to be in, and Dame is essentially Kyrie's statistical equivalent. Yeah. But
what about, and I'm just off the top of my head, Blake Griffin.
It's a good one.
I mean, no rings. And currently he's on the Pistons, so that means no rings for a while.
He should get in just for the t-shirt that has his face and Martin Luther King on it together.
That's true.
Shout out to the Clippers for not only doing that t-shirt, but also having that Bumble night that was had a Bumble ad featuring Anne Frank on it.
Oh, no.
They're just on a roll right now.
I know that John Wall won't make it, but I'm pretty sure we can find a better player. But I mean, he's got a good case on the good player. But I mean, like 5-time All-Star, 1 All-NBA team, but he won't make it. He doesn't have a chance.
What if he buys everyone Rolexes again?
There we go.
Or maybe he just has to mention that he loves his parents.
I've got a retro take we could dive into.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
This is the segment of the show where I find an old take online somewhere, usually from Yahoo Answers, a wonderful site where questions receive answers. And this one comes from that very website from the year 2011. And it is regarding earlier discussed on the show, Mr. DeMarcus Cousins. This is from 2011, so this is following his rookie season. So it's the summer in between his rookie year and his sophomore year in the NBA. The question asks, will DeMarcus Cousins and Tyreek Evans ever be NBA superstars? The asker goes on, I think Evans is very underrated. If he had the rookie season he had playing anywhere else, i.e. the Kings, anywhere else beside the Kings, there would be as much speculation on Evans as there was on Blake Griffin.
Oh.
I think Cousins is a risk and has the ceiling of Dwight Howard, but could easily fizzle and be the next Eddie Curry.
Whoa.
His solid rookie season showed that he has the ability to be a superstar. So before we dive into the answers, what are your thoughts?
Well, gentlemen? Really quick, I want to jump in here about Tyreek. When Tyreek was a rookie for the Kings, I went to a couple games, and they gave out a lot of little flyers, not flyers, but, you know, little posters and shit. Mm-hmm. And they were using the line Tyreek Havoc.
Ooh.
And all I'd like to say that I'd like to think that that is why things did not work out well for him in the Kings. That's all right, I got.
I'll jump in next. I have two things. One, I still believe Tyreek Evans will be a superstar. And two, this asker seems to be almost picking players at random to compare to each other with no semblance of similarity between the player comparisons.
Maybe we should start doing that.
I like that.
I'm not going to do that now.
So the answers, the best answer doesn't really answer the question. It just goes on to speculate about who the Kings will draft in the next draft. It says, if Brandon Knight or Kemba Walker falls to the Kings, they could be this year's Clippers. Bad record, but fun to watch.
Nice. That's the dream.
So that was the best answer.
that came true this year.
Anyway, there's a few more. There's a few more answers here. Both definitely have the potential to become all-stars one day. I think Evans will become an all-star. Okay, you already said that. He's played at a high level in his first few years in the league and has shown he will become one of the best players in a few years. If Cousins can stay out of trouble and act mature, he could also become an all-star. Really high on Tyreek Evans. I mean, he did have a really good rookie year. That's yeah. True.
I actually I saw a take recently that I think is actually by this same guy who asked this question. You know, you can't analyze handwriting, but you can analyze the player comparisons and see the similarities. It was a Rockets fan who said, I think Clint Capella's ceiling is where Jokic is now, and he's nearly there.
Yes. Two ceilings in two different buildings.
I like to pick two players who are good at exactly opposite things and then just claim that one of them has the same ceiling as the other one and that he's almost there. This seems like our Yahoo Answers friends work.
It's possible.
I believe it.
Did he spell my Yahoo Answers asker spelled Blake Griffin with an E on the end? Is there any spelling error like that?
Well, that is what doomed Blake Griffin's career right there.
Blake Griffin. That's my retro take for the day. Just some thoughts on Boogie Cousins and his return.
Let's talk about Boogie.
And how good he could have been.
Let's talk about his return.
I'm thinking a lot moving forward as to who is the player whose ceiling is Dwight Howard, but whose floor is Eddie Curry.
I would say Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I was going to say Dwight Howard also.
Maybe Andrew Bynum.
Mm. I feel like Andrew Bynum's floor was Andrew Bynum.
Yeah.
Perfectly encapsulates him. That's true. I just want to restate, if I haven't stated it yet, that I'm firmly in the Dwight Howard is a Hall of Famer camp.
Oh, yes, absolutely. First ballot.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not happy about it, but I agree. Should we touch on Boogie really quick, since we didn't discuss that in the news, that he has returned?
He has returned.
He is, in fact, playing basketball.
That actually got me to watch a basketball game. I watched his return game.
You saw his whole, like, 12 minutes?
Yeah, it was worth it.
You saw him getting very early foul trouble.
But so did everyone. There was like there was 60 fouls called in that game.
There were a lot of bad fouls. Both ways.
Just watching the Warriors like spend the first three possessions making sure that their first bucket was going to be Boogie.
Yeah.
And the more fun part was before he scored, imagining like this team is so good. How long could they have gone doing that before they actually had to play real basketball?
I mean, that's what they do with Clay.
They're in the second quarter just force feeding him, like, you better get a bucket before any of us are going to score.
Hey, when they know Clay is feeling on, that they'll do anything to get him the ball. It doesn't matter if there's like three guys on Clay, because Clay will catch it and shoot it and make it.
There's no reason, like, it's no surprise that people want to play there.
Yeah.
It's surprising that more NBA players don't take that strategy of just shooting it and making it.
If I were an NBA player, I would try to make every shot like that.
Yeah, me too.
Something that I would consider. Anyways, Boogie's not played a lot of minutes, but he's back and people are upset again and stuff, but it's fun.
He's fun. The league's a better place with Boogie Cousins in it.
Oh, I definitely agree. Many people would disagree.
Those people are chodes and fucking nerds.
Whew. Ew.
You can.
I'm just happy that all the crappy photoshops of Boogie in a Warriors jersey can just be like photos of him in his Warriors jersey now.
Yeah.
Did y'all see? There was a photoshop today of Kawhi, LeBron, and Kevin Durant in Lakers uniforms, I think. No, sorry. Kevin Durant, LeBron, and Zion Williamson in Lakers uniforms. But weird because all of them were wearing different numbers than they wear. It was like Kevin Durant was just like wearing 12 for some reason. Someone else was wearing 31. I was like, you couldn't just like put their own numbers up. Like, come on, LeBron has a Lakers jersey. Surely you could have gotten his right.
Didn't get LeBron's right?
No.
Dog. That's like your starting point is just find a picture with LeBron with extra space.
That's what I figured they would like. That's how it should have started. But man, these are just random jerseys thrown on these guys. Someone wearing 31.
Man.
This LeBron 23 jersey doesn't look realistic on LeBron. Let me find a different number. Ah, here's an old Nick Young picture. Perfect. I will use that jersey. Put LeBron's head on Nick Young's heavily tattooed body. Much skinnier body. Perfect.
Anything else we want to touch on?
I think I'm ready for the thinker.
We're ready for
the thinker. I can't believe Steven Adams talking about smashing steaks.
It's pretty good.
That's insane.
I enjoy
it. I mean, I love it, but I also hate it.
Yeah.
Why do you hate it?
He has no answer.
He can't tell us.
Joe hates steak.
Actually,
I don't eat a lot of steak. Like, but...
No one shouted like, hey, Steven, maybe like a different phrasing, perhaps?
What, did you not see Ernie Johnson this week say that he smashes Trix cereal?
Whoa, what?
He's like,
oh, yeah.
There's a video.
Shaq's face is the best part Shaq's of that video.
Like, are you guys catching this? He's like, Ernie's quote is like, you know what I smash? Trix. I had a whole box after work once.
Shaq's eyes almost popped out of his head.
We now have the two ends of the Ernie Johnson spectrum in terms of the lamest and the coolest thing he's ever said on television.
I mean, I don't think Ernie was innocent in saying that, because we can look back to when he just kept asking Chuck to keep doing the churros gesture.
Ernie.
You sly dog, Ernie.
Anyways, here's a thinker. It's very simple this week, because I want it to be from someone relevant.
We should promote our updated Twitter handle.
Yes. But yeah, before our thinker, we have changed our Twitter handle. It is at...
We're rusty. I get it.
At a full court mess. If you are already following us, well, you don't have to do any other work. We're still right there.
It's true.
And so
if you find some hot takes, hot basketball takes, from yourself or from your friends or from strangers, send them our way and we'll feature them on the podcast when we have time.
Yes, we'll shout discuss them.
Shout outs to Adam Davis and at El Cresswell, our friend Zilcho, for supplying us with some takes.
Yep. Keep them
coming, fellas. Really appreciate it.
Ride or dies. Rides or die. Anyway.
Nice.
Very good boys. That one. And next week there will be some changes, mostly just in the name and possibly our thumbnail.
We'll have some beautiful royalty-free music. We'll have some sound bites. And Kyrie Irving will be on the podcast because we said as soon as we got an official title, Kyrie Irving would be on the podcast.
Yep.
And I know he's got a busy schedule, but we've got him booked for next week. So
coming on to defend himself.
Yep.
That's right.
So, our thinker, simple. I hope this one is inspiring this week. It's from Boogie Cousins, from 6/9/2010.
Heyo, nice.
6:35 in the morning, to be exact, because that's when the grind starts. Scared money, don't make no money. End tweet.
That's something we can all reflect on.
I believe so. Yeah. Remember that.
Keep that mindset when you write your hot takes, I think.
I want brave money. And I want confident money. And if you have that, send it our way. Thank you. And we'll see you next episode.